Psalm 42. Just a precious portion of God's Word. And here it reads, "As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for You, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, 'Where is your God?' When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go with the multitude, with the crowd. I went up with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude or a crowd that kept a pilgrim feast. Why are you downcast, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His face. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore I will remember You from the land of the Jordan and from the heights of Hermon, from the hill Mizar. Deep calls unto deep at the noise of Your waterfalls. All Your waves and billows have gone over me. The Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night His song shall be with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I will say to God my rock, 'Why have You forsaken me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a breaking of my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say to me all day long, "Where is your God?" Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of my countenance, the help of my countenance and my God." Amen. A while back now, I was flying down to Kansas City, Missouri, and I remember back in Pearson when the plane was taking off, they pressurized the cabin, and I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where they've done that. It really begins to irritate you, and then the pressure only increased as they took off at 300 miles an hour, and as we were traveling at 550 miles per hour in the air, the pressure just got more and more intense, and I began to just wane and to sink and just to get down. And when I got out of the plane, I was like a complete wreck. It's interesting how outside pressures have a way of getting you down, of just zapping you. And that, in a way, is what the psalm is about that we're looking at this evening. I'm not sure who the psalmist was. All I know is this. He's on the run. He's being chased. The enemies of God have chased him away from Jerusalem, away from the worship of God, the temple where God met with His people in a big way. And now he's out in the desert running for his life, and the temple's way back in Jerusalem, and he's down. And we know that because four times he says, "My soul is what? My soul is cast down." Four times. You know, when the psalmist says something like that, "My soul is cast down, my soul is cast down, my soul is cast down, my soul is cast down," what do you conclude? That his soul is cast down. This is a big problem. It's the picture of someone just sort of, hanging down like this, and he is so down, he is so discouraged, he is so depressed. "My soul is cast down," he says. And what's so interesting, and I think instructive for us, is the way that he gets himself up when he's so down. And there are lessons for us here this evening. How to get up when you're so down. And again, I'm not going to be going into depth in the whole psalm, but really just touching down and giving you tonight some principles from Psalm 42, from the psalmist himself, how to get up when you're down. Four principles. One is this: cry out for the living God. Cry out for the living God. When we find ourselves in pressured situations, difficult situations, hard times, I mean, things come upon us and they just jar us. What is our immediate response? What do we do? Well, we do one of two things. One, we try and fix the problem, right? We try and just control it. We try and contain it. Try to fix the thing. Or what we do is this. We pray. But we pray that God would do what? Change our situation, right? We do that, don't we? We try to fix it ourselves. If that doesn't work, we pray. And we pray that God would change our circumstances. Now, what I find so interesting about what the psalmist does here is he doesn't do either of those things. I mean, he does pray. And don't get me wrong, he wants a change in his situation. He wants to be delivered from this predicament. But look where the focus is. What does he want above all else? What? God. Look at verse 1. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? How many of you have ever hunted before? And you've hunted and you've been after the deer, and the deer is running. It's running for its life, and somewhere along the way it stops, and it finds that pool of water and it starts lapping it up. It's absolutely beyond itself with fatigue and stress. And the psalmist is saying, that's the way I am. I'm like that deer who's being chased and hunted. And what I want above all else is you. I want you. You want to know how to get up when you're down? It's not to focus on getting your circumstances changed. It begins with this: God, I want you. Above all else, I want you. Because you know what? Your circumstances can change and you can remain just as depressed as ever. Because you know what? Our hope is not in things being improved, our circumstances being changed. It's in meeting with the living God who gives grace and strength no matter what the situation might be. And you can be in the most difficult and trialsome of situations. When you cry out to God in those situations, God can give a peace that surpasses all understanding. Isn't that true? Sure it is. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Let's recite that together. Be anxious about nothing, but in everything. By the way, before we go on, what does that mean? It means in every situation. With prayer, come on, and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. What is that saying? It's simply saying this, that when you are in a situation that would normally bring anxiety into your life, that you're not to be anxious, but on the other hand, you're to go to God. You're to pray. And you're to tell Him whatever the problem is. And God's peace will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So that even when you're in a tough spot, like the psalmist, running for his life, he starts getting up. His heart is lifted up. His head is lifted up. And so, very simply tonight, the first principle is this: cry out for the living God. The second principle is this: correctly identify your problem before God. Correctly identify your problem before God. I think one of the big reasons that we often get down and get discouraged and get depressed and stay that way is because we don't take the time to properly identify what our problems are, what the struggles are, what the pressures are. We can be so stoic with life. You know, I don't want to think about the problems. I don't want to think about that stuff. I want to go on. I want to move ahead. And we don't take time to really properly, accurately identify what the problems are. The psalmist does that here. He says what the problem is. He says, God, I've got enemies. They're chasing me. And they're mocking me. They're saying, where is your God? And I don't want to be here in the desert. I want to be back home. I want to be worshiping you. I want to be praising you. And Father, what's worse is this. This is from your hand. Because he goes on to say in verse 9, I will say to God, my rock, why have you forsaken me? Why do I go on mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? You see what he's doing? He is correctly identifying his problem. And he's laying it out before God. In fact, maybe the more that he thinks about his problem, the more induced he feels to get into the presence of God to deal with it. When we don't think about our problems, we don't feel the necessity to get in touch with God. But you think about your problems, you identify, you isolate them, you think about them, and they will drive you into the presence of God, which is where you've got to be with whatever problem it is. So, let's say it's a financial problem. Let's say that you need money. Let's say that you need $1,350 by October the 15th, and that for every month. What do you do about that? Because you know it's just not there. And you've got living expenses, and you've got this, and you've got that. What do you do? You say, God, I need $1,350 every month by October the 15th. This is my predicament. This is my problem. Take care of it for me. Would you? It's so easy to know what that burden is and not to want to deal with it. But the pressure's still there, isn't it? And we've got to look at that beast. And we've got to let that beast just drive us into the presence of God and say, God, here's what it is. And so we've got to correctly identify and accurately assess what our problems are before God. And that's what the psalmist does. I'll say this, though. Sometimes we don't know what it is that gets us down. We don't know how to go to God and say, God, here's what the problem is. We just don't know what the problem is. Sometimes we're just down, right? I've discovered that in those cases, if you simply ask God, God, show me what it is that is getting me down, God will show you. But there are some times when you will never know. Ever get that? Where you're just down and you're depressed and you don't know what it is. And it could be anything and you just don't know. You know what? It's okay if you don't know because God knows. And so long as God knows, really that's all that matters, right? If God knows how to take care of these things and how to get you up. You can just say, God, I don't understand this. I don't know why I'm down. I don't know what the connection is. I just need your help. Lift me up here. So we got to identify the problems and bring them to God, before God, to deal with them. That's principle number two. And number three is this. Contemplate your problems in the light of who God is. That's how we get up when we're down. Contemplate your problems in light of who God is. And I mention that because the danger of focusing on your problems is what? You sink again. You get depressed all over again. That's why when we think of our problems and we accurately identify them, we have to do so in light of who God is. And that's what the psalmist does. Where? I'll show you where. 13 times, at least 13 times in this psalm, he makes mention of God by what name? Does anyone know? Can anyone see it? What is the number one name that he's using there throughout the entire psalm? It's God. That's right. And that name in the Hebrew is El, and it speaks of God's power. His great, almighty power. And you know what? The psalmist is not just, you know, not thinking about God's name there and what it means. I mean, he's very specific. He's very intentional about the name that he's using. This is the God of all power. This is the God who can really come through. The God who can really rescue. The God who's got great big biceps, right? And he keeps on saying this. God, 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 God. 13 times, at least 13 times through the psalm. And there's this. Look at verse 9. I will say to God what? My what? My rock. My rock. A rock doesn't change. A rock remains the same. A rock is a faithful thing. Even when I seem to be forsaken, I know that your love Your faithfulness endures. Verse 7. Verse 8. The Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime. That word Lord, capital letters, what is that? That's God's covenant name, isn't it? That's God's covenant name, Yahweh. That's the God who is. The God who is for His people. The God who will always be for His people. What's the psalmist doing here? He's reminding himself of who God is. Now listen. When you're down, when you're depressed, and when you're discouraged, and when you're praying, I'm suggesting that you copy the psalmist, that you plagiarize the psalmist, that you take his lead and begin to use the names of God and think of God in such a way as He relates to your particular predicament. You see, I'll tell you why you got to do that. Because when you start thinking about who God is in light of whatever your problem is, suddenly your problem doesn't seem so big anymore. Isn't that true? I mean, how often do we look at our problems and we focus on our problems and they seem absolutely gigantic until we get into the presence of the big, great, gigantic God. And suddenly it's like, you know, this is not such a big problem anymore, is it? I mean, Jesus did that, didn't He, in Matthew 6? With people who were stressed about food and fashion and whatever else it was. And He said, what? What do you do? He said, go pick some flowers. Go bird watching, right? He says, look how God's taking care of all these things in the world. I mean, doesn't He love you way more than that? I mean, He'll take care of you, right? What's He doing? He's saying, look at God. You look at your problems in light of who God is. Always, don't ever look at your problems in isolation from who God is. I mean, you'll just stress out even more. I mean, we want to get up when we're down. The psalmist is helping us to do that tonight. But there's a fourth principle, and it's this. Counsel yourself to hope in God. Counsel yourself to hope in God. Cry out for the living God. Correctly identify your problems before God. Contemplate your problems in light of who God is. And fourthly, counsel yourself to hope in God. I know something about you tonight. I know that you really appreciate good counsel, don't you? Ron, people come to you because they want good counsel. And they leave because they are encouraged by your counsel. People want their lives straightened out. They do. We know that. But you know what? Good counselors can't always be there for you, can they? Sometimes you're on your own. But here's the thing. No matter how alone you are, you always have a counselor with you. You know who that is? Who? You always have the Holy Spirit. That's true, and amen to that. Jesus Christ, the wonderful counselor. He is always with you. That is right. Isaiah 9:6, he'll be called Wonderful Counselor. There is another counselor who's not so wonderful, but he's still pretty wonderful, or she's still pretty wonderful. Do you know who it is? It's you. And the psalmist begins to practice here what I call soul counsel. He's speaking to himself as though he's two people, and he's helping himself out. He says to himself several times, in verse 42, Psalm 42, verse 11, for instance. Why are you cast down, O my soul? He's talking to his soul as though he's another person. Why are you so cast down? Why? And he says, listen, hope in God. For I will yet praise Him, the help comes from God. You see that? You see, when he's struggling, when the problems are there, he turns not just to God, but to himself. And he has this conversation with himself and says, self, why are you so down? You have no real good ground to be down. He's saying, put your hope in God. And what is hope? What is hope? Hope is confidently expecting something good when it's out of sight, right? It's confidently expecting something good that's out of sight. And he's saying, soul, you have got to confidently expect
that God will rescue you and that He will bring you to Himself and that you'll worship Him. All while he couldn't see this. And you see, here's the test. Here's where the rubber meets the road when we're really down and we're struggling to get up. We've got to go and say to ourselves, self, why are you cast down? Self, hope in God. You see, here's the difficult thing. Here's the really difficult thing. When you're down and discouraged and depressed, the Word of God says that you are called at those times to exercise faith. How are you going to get up when you're down? How are you going to get up when circumstances are so hard that they just kind of cripple you? How are you going to get up? Well, the answer is this. You've got to hope. You've got to trust God. You've got to take God at His Word. You've got to take some promise of God and say, God, you said so, and I'm trusting you. I'm taking you at your word. And I'm going to keep on doing that until you hear me. And the psalmist needs to do that because three times he says to himself, my soul, why are you cast down? Hope now in God. My soul, why are you cast down? Hope now in God. And he keeps on telling himself that until the victory comes. And this man leaves. He exits up. He's gone to God in a predicament, in a hard time. He's weighed down. He's discouraged. And he's doing all the things he needs to do to get up again. And you say, wonderful. But you know what? I get so down, so discouraged that I don't even want to think about what the psalmist is doing here. I mean, I don't even have the faith to even come close to doing what he does. I mean, he's just so far ahead. And you know what? I understand that. But guess what? Jesus Christ knows all about this psalm. He knows what it is to be down. He knows what it is to suffer. He knows what it is to be so discouraged and so depressed. He knows what it is for God to turn His face from him. What it is to be forsaken and to cry out and to trust in His God and to be delivered. And this evening, this afternoon, if there's a struggle in your own heart, just a discouragement, a cloud hanging over your heart, and you just feel like you're so weak that you can't even muster the faith to hope in Him and to take Him at His word. Understand this, that Jesus Christ came into this world to give you the strength to trust, and He is but a faint cry away. If you're sitting there this evening and you are just down and discouraged, all it takes is a cry. Jesus, save me. Sometimes it's all we can ever pray. Jesus, save me. Give me faith. I am just so down. I am just so depressed. I am just so discouraged. The circumstances of my life are just crippling me. And I don't want to do anything like what I read in Psalm 42. Take me by your grace to this place. Take me here. And God, make me cry out for you, the living God. And God, help me to correctly identify my problems before you. And God, help me to contemplate them in light of who you are. And God, give me the grace to counsel my soul to hope and to trust in you. And friends, if you will cry that, and if you will let Jesus take you there, that He will take you when you're down, and He will get you up. Amen.